Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. But the free gift is not like the trespass. St. Paul has written that since, therefore, we have been justified by Christ's blood, made just before God, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For the free gift is not like the trespass. Adam's trespass invited death and chaos into God's good creation. Through Adam's sin, all men die because all men now sin. And so, in unimaginable compassion, in long-suffering mercy, the God of the universe entered into his dying creation that he might appease his own wrath by dying on a cross. By his own suffering and death, the Lord Jesus has redeemed us sinners from our sin. By his resurrection, physical death does not automatically equate to eternal death. For the one who believes in Jesus, eternal death has been overcome by eternal life in paradise. And so, he has released us from the fear of death. His is the gift of salvation, and it's free to all who ask him. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, "It ain't over till it's over." For me, our readings today are a combined reminder that it ain't over till it's over, from Adam's sin till the time Jesus returns on that last and glorious day. It ain't over till it's over. The Lord still teaches. He sends. He cares for. He protects those who are his own. He has compassion on those who are his own, putting the pieces back together when lives are broken, intervening, connecting people together, and building his church. But do we fully understand what it means to have lost that original righteousness in which he created? Do we fully recognize the greatness of God's long-suffering love in that while we were still sinners, while we were still his enemies, Christ died? I love the word long-suffering. We talked about it in Bible class. According to my 1958 college dictionary, to be long-suffering is to endure an injury or a provocation and endure it for a long time and endure it patiently. The transgression of Adam was an injury to God's creation, and it was a provocation to God of God's wrath. It provoked God to anger. Since that day, creation and the descendants of Adam have been harassed and tyrannized by death. But the Lord is long-suffering in his compassion. Enduring Adam's provocation with patience, he would shepherd his people. He would send under-shepherds, for he is the only one who can send them. By the transgression of Adam, sin made its appearance in the world. And through sin, all creation, including you and I, were sentenced to death. And so, as St. Paul has written, death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. And this part's always caused me to pause. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. In these things, Paul speaks of the world's history before the Ten Commandments were formally written. At that time, sin was nevertheless in the world, and people did indeed transgress against God's holy will, as evident by the unrestrained sovereignty and tyranny of death over all living things. In these things, St. Paul teaches that regardless of one's awareness of God's law, every sin merits death, even before Moses had received the commandments. sinners of the first period of the world, from Adam's sin until the day Moses received the commandments at Mount Sinai, even they had been subjected to death because of Adam's original sin. And yet the Lord, not willing that any of his should perish, not willing to lose any that are his, motivated strictly by his compassion, had compassion on his harassed and helpless creatures. He had already committed to care for and defend those scattered sheep of his. And so in that day when Adam and Eve, having transgressed God's one and only command at that time, stood in the Garden of Eden for the very last time. And in that same day, the culmination of God's covenant of grace was promised. The serpent would be defeated. The serpent would be defeated by the one descended of the woman, Genesis 3:15. By the suffering and death of God's only Son, we have been redeemed from our sins. And when he was risen from the dead, he released us from the fear of death, for death no longer has its sting. In the day that Adam ate the forbidden fruit, the germ of sin, if you will, the germ of sin and death infected his very nature. His body became a mortal body, and so all men descended from Adam, even by their conception and birth, are subject to the tyranny of sin and the rule and the reign of death. As I pondered these things, that whole thing about sin not being counted where there's no law, can you imagine what the world must have been like without God's commandments to curb men's evil desires? In the time after Adam's transgression, much of mankind had been convinced, or had convinced itself, that sin is not counted where there is no law. And so mankind quickly devolved into a system of survival of the fittest and natural selection. For it has been written that evil men of power, and the Genesis account talks of Nephilim being among the first, they took any that they lusted among the daughters of men and had children by them. The sinful world glorified them as the mighty men of old. The sinful world glorified them as men of renown. They were not good fathers. They were no more than thugs. For without God's Ten Commandments, the fear of death was the only law to curb the evil intent of man's heart. And so death reigned from Adam. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. But the free gift is not like the trespass. The light of God's mercy to future generations still shined in the heart of one man in all the earth, showing that it ain't over till it's over. And that one man built a big boat. And so generations after Noah, we find in our reading today the people of Israel encamped at the foot of Mount Sinai. God had chosen Israel to be his holy nation among all the peoples of the earth, and he had not changed his mind about that, nor had he changed his mind about them or his plan of redeeming all mankind, including us. And so God gave them one man again to remind Israel of his faithfulness in rescuing them from slavery in Egypt. Moses would be that man through whom the Lord would, he would renew, at least in their minds, because he had never changed his mind, he would renew in their minds and hearts the everlasting covenant that he made with Abraham, that his descendants would be as great as the stars in the heavens. They were still his covenant people. Like Noah, the Lord had called Israel to be his treasured possession. And he doesn't break his covenants. He doesn't break his promises. God had vowed to care for and protect them, even in the midst of a harassed and helpless world. And without exception, all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." They had the best intentions, but living a sanctified life, living the way that pleases God, takes work. It takes commitment. But while mankind works, while mankind commits, there's still a problem, isn't there? No matter how hard we try, we die. Even with the best intentions of living a holy life, mankind is helplessly harassed by the reign and the rule of death. Now, some of you might be saying, "I know that. You don't need to tell me that. I am painfully aware of that. Tell me something different. Tell me something maybe I don't know." So I tell you this. Death has lost its sting. Death has lost its sting. For the one who believes in Jesus, death is merely a door, if you will. Temporary suffering on this side, eternal joy on the other. If you hear nothing else today, please hear that. Death has lost its sting. It is merely a door. Temporary suffering on this side, and the door's not locked. Eternal joy on the other side. As I studied this week, I read a story, a fictional story. For the record, geese don't talk, nor do chickens or ducks. But in this story, they do. A goose was brought down, a wild goose was brought down by a lucky shot of a hunter. But it was just nicked. One wing was injured, and so the goose glided until he was out of range and landed in a barnyard. The domestic geese, the ducks, the chickens were startled when they saw him land. They'd never seen that before, at least not up close. At first they were startled, but then they began to be amazed. And they asked him what it was like to fly. He extolled the glories of flight. He extolled the thrills of soaring in the wild blue yonder. He talked about how their huge barn, when he was up there, looked like this little tiny one-inch block of wood, and how, as they scurried around the barnyard, they looked like little specks. The domestic fowl were quite impressed with his speech, and they asked him to tell it again. Over time, this had become a weekly occasion as the goose's wing healed. He liked being the center of attention, and the others liked hearing about the glories of flight. But they never tried it themselves. They never tried to fly themselves. And the goose, even though his wing had healed, he just continued to talk about flying. And he never bothered to fly again. He liked it where he was. He was fed quite regularly. And so he stayed put. Christ calls laborers into his harvest. We can talk about it. Or we can answer, "Here I am, send me." And so God himself would have compassion. He would train his disciples to go out like sheep among wolves, into a world that still thinks that sin is not counted, or there is no specific law regarding one's specific sin. They would go out with the good news that Jesus has kept the law perfectly on our behalf and in our stead. And they have gone out with the good news that the reign of death has been swallowed up in victory. "I am the resurrection and the life," says the Lord. "He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die, but will live forever in eternity in paradise." By the suffering and death of God's only Son, he has redeemed us sinners from our sin. And he has redeemed us from Adam's transgression. By Jesus' resurrection from the dead, he has released us from, he has released you from the fear of death. By God's original covenant of grace, you are still his treasured possession, even though you may not feel treasured you are still treasured by God. From the time of Adam's sin until now, Jesus has committed to care for you and protect you in this life and even into eternity. For the kingdom of heaven truly is at hand. And like we began, it ain't over till it's over. Amen. And I may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.